I get a lot of requests. And one of the requests that I got was to preach on the Golden Rule. And the Golden Rule, as stated in the New Testament, is found in Matthew chapter 7. And so I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 at this time. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 1 through 12. And we're going to read these verses, and then we're going to talk about the Golden Rule this morning. And the Golden Rule is so important. The Golden Rule is one of those things that they will actually let us teach about in the school system, you know. And I think that's great. I think that's great. Practice the Golden Rule. Jesus gives us the Golden Rule in this chapter, but He doesn't give it to us out of context. He sets the stage for the presentation of the Golden Rule. And so we want to look at that context in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 1 and following. Now listen to what Jesus says here very carefully, because it's in this context that He presents the Golden Rule to us. And we really need to know what He's getting at here. Now let's listen to the words of Jesus. "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Therefore, whatsoever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now there's the Golden Rule presented to us in verse 12. Whatsoever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Do you want other people to judge you when you first come across them? Do you want them to sit back in judgment and just size you up? I don't. That's not how I want people to treat me. I want people to get to know me, right? To understand a little bit about me. To think about my life. To appreciate some of the challenges and struggles that I have within my life on a daily basis. That's how I want people to deal with me. I don't want them to judge me. And so Jesus says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." You know, the same standard that we use to deal with other people, typically that's how people are going to deal with us. So if we deal with them in a very judgmental fashion, then guess what? They're going to judge us in a very judgmental fashion. Well, what about that speck in that plank that Jesus is talking about? He's talking about, you know, don't go around being nitpicky with people and trying to fix these little things within their lives. By the way, you can't fix somebody anyway. Only God can do that. You can't change somebody that doesn't want to change. You can't fix somebody that doesn't want to be fixed. But God can. But nevertheless, that's the attitude that some people have. Well, I'm going to come and I'm going to fix every single little thing. Do you want to be treated like that? Is that how you want to live your life? I don't want to be treated like that. You know, the other day, every once in a while, I'll get to sit down and play some video games with the kids, you know. And a long time ago, they would ask me, they would say, "Hey, Dad, why don't you play video games with us?" And I'd say, "Well, because I don't like you guys telling me, you know, what to do all the time in these video games. Because every time I start playing a video game, they come in, "Dad, do this. Dad, do that. Dad, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that, Dad?" You know. And so, anyway, the other day, Charlie was playing a video game the other day. And so he was playing this video game, and I was sitting there saying, "Hey, Charlie, why don't you do this? Charlie, why don't you do that?" You know, and he looked at me and he said, "Now I understand why you don't like to play video games, Dad." He gave me a taste of my own medicine. Can you believe that? My own son. Yeah. No, he's pretty good at that. Well, I'm pretty good at dishing it out too. But you see, that's not what we want to do. And I just have to admit my own faults here in that regard, all right? Looking for those specks in other people's lives, right? And not noticing the big beam that you're carrying in your own arm, so big, you know, you can't see around it to get that speck out of somebody else's eye. You need to put that beam down. That's the burden that we're all carrying, the burden of our own sin. We got to put it down. Notice what Jesus says, get that beam out of your eye. And then you can see clearly to help somebody else. Treating people like I want to be treated. Treating other people like I would want to be treated. That's the golden rule. That's what we're talking about here. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this context. You don't want to be judged? Don't judge other people. You don't want to be, you don't want people to nitpick you? Don't go around and be nitpicky with other people. Look what he says, ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and... Don't we like to be treated like that? When we ask somebody for something, don't we like for them to give us what we're asking for? If we knock on somebody's door, don't we like it when people open the door? I tell you what, there's nothing. I could never be a door-to-door salesman. Now I might have to be telling on myself. But man, all the rejection that those guys get, you don't see that very much anymore today. But knocking on somebody's door and then nobody answers, you know, that's tough stuff right there. That's tough. Because we want people to answer the door. Ask and it will be, seek and you shall find. These are great promises that Jesus makes here. You know, sometimes we don't ask, and we don't seek, and we don't knock. And you know what somebody told me once? He said, "You know what? You can ask somebody for something, and they may tell you no. But they may also say yes." You know, I'll say 50% of the time. If you ask somebody for something, they'll say no. Other 50%, they'll say yes. Let's just say that for the sake of argument, right? Well, 50% of the time, you're getting a yes to the thing you're asking for. But if you don't ask at all, you're getting 100% no every single time. Now think about that. And so ask, seek, knock. Make the effort. Do you want people to make effort in regard to your life? Do you want people to care about you? Do you want people to love you? Of course we do. Then get out and make an effort in other people's life. Get out and love other people. Get out and seek them. Ask about them. Knock for them. Whatever you would that men should do unto you, even so do you to them also. The golden rule. Do we reward people with nonsense? No. Or at least we shouldn't. Jesus says we understand this even among our own selves. When our child asks us for bread, do we give him a rock? That's silly. That's ridiculous. We wouldn't do that. Why? Because if we were hungry, we would want someone to give us some bread. If somebody asked for a fish, Would we give them a serpent? Well, of course not. Why? Because if we're hungry, we want to be fed. We should treat people the way we want to be treated. That's the golden rule. Yes, we know how to do good to some people. God is going to do good to us. Shouldn't we do good to others? That's the golden rule. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule. Now let's think about the golden rule for just a few moments. We've looked at the context. We understand what Jesus is trying to get across here. Now let's broaden this and make some applications. First of all, the golden rule. It is so optimistic in nature. Whatever you would that men should do to you, do even to them also. You know, when we think about what we want others to do, it's very positive in nature. I want people to treat me well. I want good things to happen. How many of us think, you know, I just wish I could go out today and somebody would step on my foot. I wish I could go out today and somebody would just crash into me with my car. Do we think like that? Of course not. We're optimistic in our thinking. We want good things to happen. We want things to occur in wonderful ways, beautiful ways. And God made us like that, and that's great. You see, whatever you would that men should do unto you, do even so to them also. That's optimism. The golden rule is optimistic. But notice the golden rule doesn't say this. It doesn't say, do whatever others want you to do. It doesn't say that. Oh, there's a lot of things that other people want me to do. Some things I can agree with, some things I don't agree with. Other people may want us to do some things that aren't right. We shouldn't do those things. The golden rule doesn't say just do what other people want you to do. That's not what it says. It says whatever you would that others should do to you, you do that to them. There's a difference between those two things. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, because this sums up sometimes what some people want us to do. Proverbs chapter 1. You see, there are all kinds of wicked people in the world, and they will take advantage of us if they can and ask us to do things that we shouldn't do. So the golden rule doesn't tell us just to do what other people want us to do. It doesn't say that. Look at Proverbs 1, starting in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. And so the golden rule doesn't say just do what other people want you to do, because there's some wicked people in this world that want us to do wicked things. We shouldn't do what they want us to do. That's not what the golden rule says. The golden rule says whatever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them also. Look at it from your perspective. How do you want to be treated? Then treat others that way. Would you want someone to rob you? Well, no. Well, then don't rob other people. Would you want someone to hurt you? Well, no. Then don't hurt other people. See, that's the golden rule. The golden rule is optimistic because most of the time we want people to do good things to us. We don't want people to do bad things to us. But the golden rule is also, it also reflects God's love. And I think that's important that we think about that. And Jesus calls our attention to that right before he talks about the golden rule here in verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Now, Jesus always brings it back to God, because God is the standard of what's right and wrong. And He's the standard of behavior. And He's also the standard for doing good things to others. And God does do good things for us. And so the golden rule reflects God's love. You know, God doesn't deal with us like we really deserve. He doesn't treat us like we really ought to be treated. Turn to Psalm 103 for just a moment. Psalm 103, the psalmist writes some very important things here that help us to understand just how loving God really is to us. Psalm 103, starting in verse 8. Psalm 103, verse 8. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Now, God has not dealt with us as we deserve to be dealt with. And that shows His great love for us. And He's removed our sins as far from the east as from the west. And that's an infinite distance. Those two will never meet. The east will never meet the west. And that's how far God has removed our sins from us. And He pities us. He loves us. He shows mercy to us. And while we were yet enemies, God loved us. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through 10, He sent His Son to die for us on the cross so that we can have forgiveness of our sins. You see, God hasn't dealt with us like we deserve. He's treated us much better than that. And He's loved us. And God wants us to love like He loves. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 44 and 45, Jesus there says, "Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you, that you may be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. For He sends the sun and the rain upon the just and upon the unjust. Be ye therefore perfect," that is, complete, "as your Father in heaven is complete." You see, we can love as God has loved us. We can be merciful to others as God has been merciful to us. Do we want others to love us? Yes, we do. Do we want others to be merciful to us? Absolutely. Then let's practice the golden rule. It is a reflection for God's love for us. But the golden rule is also the practice of love toward our fellow. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's the second command. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. That's really a restatement of the golden rule, if you think about it. Whatever you would that others should do unto you, even so do you also to them. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, of course, I've got to know how to love myself before I can love my neighbor. If I hate myself, then I can't really love my neighbor as I should. There's a certain amount of respect and love that we've got to have for ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We brush our teeth. We make our beds. We take care of ourselves when our health is threatened. We feed ourselves. We clothe ourselves on a daily basis. These are all ways in which we love ourselves. Ways that God loves us. You see, we should love ourselves as God loves us. All right? But then we need to understand that we need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And if we see our neighbor in need, then we need to respond to those needs. And we need to do what God wants us to do in that regard. All the law is summed up in this command: thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love yourself. And so love fulfills the law, Paul tells us. James tells us that that's the royal law. James chapter 2 and verse 8. And the golden rule is the practical application of loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. You see, because when we think about others and how we want them to treat us, we want them to treat us well. You see, that's a correct understanding of loving self. If I were wanting my neighbor to injure me or harm me in some way, you see, then that wouldn't be the right understanding of what it means to love myself. That's some kind of deviance, you see, when that happens. That's not a proper respectful attitude towards self. That's not being sober-minded. Okay? And so I need to love my neighbor as I love myself. And when I think, how do I want other people to treat me? And I have the right attitude toward myself in that regard. And then I take that principle and I go out and I practice it with others. That's truly loving my neighbor as I love myself. We ask this question when we're dealing with other people. Let's constantly ask ourselves this question: would I want others to do this to me? We go out into the world and do business with other people. Be asking yourself this question: would I want others to treat me like this? Is this how I would want other people to act toward me? That's such a practical question, but that's the golden rule in practice. The golden rule in this regard is introspective. It causes us to think about our lives. I cannot count on my hands and my toes the number of times my mother told me, "Kevin, you need to think before you act." Right? And I'm sure that our mothers told us that as well. Over and over again. Think. Kevin, you need to think before you act. Think about this. Be introspective. Give it some thought. Well, and for that reason, sometimes I think about things maybe too much today, too long. I don't know. But there is this idea that we really need to think about other people before we just go out and start acting. It will help us to practice the golden rule. Think about those things that Paul said to think about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. What other things are lovely? What other things are true? Whatever things are just, whatever things are good, if there's virtuous things, praiseworthy things, you know, think on these things. We need to think. Part of loving God is that we love Him with our mind. We've got to think. The golden rule demands that we think, and so it is introspective. And then the golden rule is also proactive. It's proactive. It tells us to think and to act before others think and act upon us, so that we just live a life of reaction. What kind of life is that anyway? Not really a very good one. If all you're doing in your life is just reacting to other things, all you're doing is going around and putting out fires all the time, is that, how fun is that? Not very fun. It's a lot of work. And it'll run you down really quick. And it makes you feel like your life is out of control. And that you really don't have any say-so in anything. You know, firefighters are not firefighters in that sense. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? If you've ever been to a fire station and you've ever talked to a firefighter, you will know that 99% of the time, they are focusing upon what to do to prevent a fire to begin with. Right? They're not interested in fighting fires. They really don't want to go out there and fight a fire. That's the last thing they want to do. Fighting fires is dangerous business. What they are interested in is preventing those fires. And if they can do that somehow in some way, then they will have done their jobs really as firefighters. And so they will say, you know, put those smoke detectors in your house. Keep your Christmas tree watered, you know, if you're going to keep one of those in the house. Make sure that your appliances are all up to date. You know, the electrical is good and all of that. Watch those things. Pay attention to those things. Don't put a bunch of clutter and, you know, around a plug in the wall where it can catch fire easy from a spark or something like that. Don't leave oily rags in your garage. Those kinds of things. Very practical things. All of those things were thought about by firefighters because they had to fight fires where all of those things caused those fires. And nowadays we've done pretty good about preventing fires, but it's thanks to the firefighters who went out and fought those fires, found the causes, and then came up with solutions for how to prevent those fires from happening. Well, you see, even firefighters don't like to fight fires. And that's why we need to practice the golden rule, because it is proactive. It goes out and it does before there's a fire to be fought. It goes out and it tries to prevent bad situations from taking place in the first place. Because when you're treating other people like you would want to be treated, you're setting the ground for good relationships. When you're going out and treating people like you want to be treated, you're preventing bad things from happening. When you're going out and treating people like you want to be treated, you're building encouragement and mutual respect among your fellow man. And the likelihood is that you're not going to have to be fighting a whole bunch of fires because you're preventing those fires from happening by practicing the golden rule. We need to go forth and practice the golden rule and conquer our lives as a result of doing this. Not being hearers of the word only, but doers. Abiding in Jesus, living in Him, practicing what He's told us to do, building that house upon the rock, not upon the sand, where it's going to collapse. Observing all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded us. That's really being proactive, you see. And that's going out there and being what God wants us to be. Letting His Word live in our lives. Loving people like we really need to love them. The golden rule. What a beautiful statement. What a wonderful thought that Jesus gives us. The golden rule. It's so optimistic. It thinks the best and then it acts upon that. The golden rule is a beautiful picture of God's love for us. The golden rule is the practice of our love for others. It's really loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. The golden rule is introspective. It really causes us to think. And we need to think. And the golden rule is proactive. Not waiting for fires to happen and reacting to other things, but preventing those things by sowing goodwill among our friends and family and neighbor. Oh, how we need to practice the golden rule. Well, God bless you this morning as you've been listening to these thoughts that God has given us in His Word through His Son, Jesus the Christ, and that we've been able to discuss here today. Have you been practicing the golden rule in your life? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe it's time to start thinking about your life and thinking about how to live that life and not just being reactive, but being proactive and going out there and really being God's man or God's woman. Do you need the prayers of the church in that regard to help you with that? Well, we can pray for you this morning. Do you need to become a child of God to start living for Him each and every day? Not living for self, not pursuing self, hating others and being hateful, as Paul said. that those who live in the world live on a daily basis. No, but loving other people like you need to love them. Jesus has the answer for your life. Why not come to Him this morning in obedience, being willing to submit yourself to Him, obeying His Word, becoming a child of God? You can do that this very hour. Why not come have that conversation today? The invitation of Jesus Christ we extend to you right now, and you can respond to that invitation by coming forward this morning and asking for help while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.